basically what happens is as those grooves get tighter and tighter when during that polishing process, which actually makes that floor a little easier to clean, removing soil off the surface. So,
welcome to Beyond Clean with Ace. In the world of commercial cleaning, newcomers and seasoned professionals know we're more than just toilets, windows, and floors. We're just like everyone else with diverse interests in everything. And over the past 7 seasons, tens of thousands have discovered engaging, thoughtful, and truly game-changing knowledge here. Whether you're a facility manager, a frontline staff member, or a building services contractor, we're here to help you grow, both personally and professionally. So hit that subscribe button and share with others, because we're all about enhancing lives in healthy, positive, and proactive ways. Now let's join Dave Thompson, Director of the Academy of Cleaning Excellence, your host here at Beyond Clean with Ace.
Hello, everyone. This is Dave Thompson. As you can see, we're here back at another episode of Beyond Clean with Ace. You know, we talk about everything, well, more than cleaning, but today we're going to talk about cleaning. Yeah, we're going to actually talk about cleaning today. And I think what we're going to talk about is concrete floors. You know, that's been around for a long time and there's all kinds of stuff that we do on concrete. You know, there are some do's and don'ts when it's cleaning concrete. And I got somebody on the line. Hopefully, if everything goes right, we got all the buttons right. We should have Rick. There he is.
Do hey, I Dave, have how are you?
I got audio too. That's a great all thing right. too. Rick. Okay, so you know, hey folks, just like anything else, we all are on all of these social media places and stuff. And here a while ago, I actually got hold of Rick here through LinkedIn, because I saw a post and it said, do you know how to clean concrete? And so it got me going. I'm like, I got to talk to this guy. Somewhere or another, he thinks he knows how to clean concrete. Do you, Rick?
We do. Our company is Concrete Polishing and Coatings. So we do a lot of metallic floors, epoxy flake floors, and then we also do polished concrete. So I think that's one of the biggest things when we're looking at concrete floors, if you have polished floors or if you have a coating, and trying to figure out what the best solution for that is. So, yeah, there's a lot of different ways to do it, but there's some right things to do with it. So which one do you want to talk about first, Dave? A coating system or polished concrete?
Well, hey, you know what? I got to tell everybody, you know, whenever you meet people and stuff, one of the things on Rick's profile and everything interests me is you're from Idaho. I spent a little bit of my childhood in Idaho. I love Idaho.
What part?
Salmon.
Oh, my gosh. That's cold country. That's really cold country. it's actually beautiful up there. I really like it. We're on eastern side in Idaho Falls. That's where our company's based out of. And it's just it's a great place to be.
Well, you know, whenever you talk about concrete, you know, I'm big on polished concrete. And I've heard, and I kind of subscribe to it, that a red pad loaded up with sand and grit is not the right pad to clean concrete with that's polished.
It is not. I think when we're looking at polished concrete to clean it, we want to determine if it's a new floor or, you know, if it's an existing floor that you're coming in on. There's a lot of different things when we're looking at concrete, especially in a commercial or commercial facility, really. There's different things, and the term concrete polishing can mean a lot of different things. So now, you know, you have floors that are really polished, up to an 800 polish and beyond. So those are going to be your really shiny floors, or you have a really high DOI. That's really important to understand what floor you have. Now we have what people call a polish, and it's called a grind and seal. And they're simply just cutting the concrete, putting a coating on it, and they're calling that a polish. And that is really, really not polished concrete. It may have the appearance for a little while that it looks like it's polished, but it's not. Right. And then you also have just a densified floor, right, where there's no real polish. You're using a floor that has been hard troweled when they put in the floor, and they just densify it, which makes it harder. and then they just burnish that floor, and that creates a hard surface. So really determining what floor system you have is extremely important in choosing the right way to clean that floor.
So my thought here, from what I've been told and what I teach here in classes, is the higher that polish is, the more that we need to be careful about cleaning it with just a loaded up red pad.
Yes. Yep. You definitely, the higher the DOI on the floor, typically what you're going to see on a high polish is going to be 800. Now you can go up to 3000. Those are going to be a really mirror finish. Basically what happens is those grooves get tighter and tighter when during that polishing process, which actually makes that floor a little easier to clean, removing soil off the surface. So red pads are usually kind of a standard. I always joke, why do we use a red pad? Well, it's because what the guy used before me. That's the only reason why we use a red pad, is because it was on our auto scrubber and that's yep. all the guy has ordered. So we recommend 3M and other pads. So also understanding the guard that is on that floor too is an important part of that process. If you get too aggressive pad, the clean and shine pad from 3M is a great pad, but your floor has to be set up to respond to that. Otherwise, you can get immediate hazing with that kind of pad, where that pad's designed to really continue to polish that floor or burnish the floor over the life of it.
So I am a person that likes cylindrical brushes for just basic everyday cleaning, just a good soft nylon brush, cylindrical brush, so that, because what I've seen so much of the time, Rick, and tell me if I'm wrong, you know, the red pads are loaded up with grit. They don't change them. They don't clean them, whatever pad it is. And so that grit in the pad actually deters from the shine, or am I in the wrong area?
No, it definitely can. If a floor is properly polished, you can scratch that floor, or you can scratch that floor with a loaded pad with sand and grit in there. So dust mopping is really important, you know, on polished concrete to remove that topical surface, instead of getting that pad loaded with sand. So entry mats are really important. Your walk off area is extremely important on maintaining that floor, where you're going to try to capture that sand and grit at the door rather than it being tracked on the floor. But dry mopping is really important to remove those rocks that can get loaded into the auto scrubber. But always checking the pad. I think too often people will just jump on an auto scrubber or a machine and not check the pad before they start doing something. Because to fix any kind of floor system, I mean, you can cause a lot of damage by having the incorrect pad, and then having a dirty pad or a pad that has embedded stuff in it.
So the thing is, we feel cylindrical brushes.
I think they work great. I think for a polished concrete, I think where cylindrical brushes really come into play, it's like a roller type. Is that what you're referring to? Yeah. Where I think that those work really well are on a rougher surface where you have like an epoxy coating or something, or like a rubberized coating where you want that to roll over there. On a polished concrete, I think they can work great. I'm not sure they get as much surface as a traditional pad would be, or that right system, but yeah, I am a fan of them. I think they do work.
Well, now if you maintain polish, and that, you know, sometimes what we should do is use the diamond impregnated pads instead of a red cleaning pad. Would that be all right?
Yes. So you'd have to just determine that your guard that you have on that floor is acceptable to a diamond pad. Most of the time, those guards that you put on the top part when you seal that floor in after you polish it, that actually is what's going to continue to give you a good DOI on that, if that makes sense.
So let's move over to, and you mentioned just there briefly, you know, floors that have coatings. So walk us through the proper maintenance for floors that have coating on. And I'm talking, you know, these floors are usually ground. I was watching your website here earlier, and you guys got to grind off a whole lot of other stuff that's already on that floor. And then absolutely, you start putting a coating on, right?
Yep. So just like any other, you know, painting or anything else, prep is always going to be key. So we always grind or shot blast our floors, and we want to get it down to the original substrate. What we find is when we're looking at things, sometimes there could be a coating on there, and we want to remove that down to the original concrete. There's a couple of reasons why we do that. We want to make sure that we get a good bond to the concrete, but we also want to see what repairs need to be made on the concrete. Concrete can be very porous, but there's also a lot of things that can happen with moisture seeping through. So we need to determine if we're going to put a coating on there, if there's excess moisture that we have to put a moisture vapor barrier on before we do a coating. Anytime we do a metallic floor, it's going to get a moisture vapor barrier no matter what. That's not an option for the customer, because we want to protect the investment of a floor system like that. So we grind and prep the concrete, fix any of the cracks, and really that gives us a clean slate. That gives the customer the best warranty, because we're not putting our coating over somebody else's work.
Getting it prepped and doing the coating, and we were looking at some of your website as you were talking there. I mean, all of the colors and the wood grain looking in it. I mean, like this one that we were looking at the aquarium there, that was pretty. Hope they take care of it right. So what's the right maintenance after all of that?
Okay, so on the coatings, it kind of depends whether it's going to be interior or exterior. Our exterior ones don't really need a lot of maintenance other than just power washing and general cleaning and maintenance. Those are pretty solid floor systems. What we want to do is that exterior, we coat it with the polyaspartic. It's going to be a non-yellowing material that we put on there, and it's extremely durable. What we want to look at through the life of that floor, exterior wise, when we're doing coatings like that, we want to just make sure that we're not wearing down to the design coat. So when we look at that, we're looking at three or four different layers in that system. And we want to make sure that our top coat is what's maintaining. So once we start wearing down into the design coat, we want to make sure we come back, abrade the surface, and then add another top coat. Exterior, pressure washer, scrub brush, be completely fine. Interior is where it gets a little trickier. I wouldn't say trickier. You would kind of handle it like you would any other hard surface, but you got to understand where we're putting it at and what is going on inside of that facility. So the aquarium, we did a micro topping of polyaspartic. They get, at this point, I think they've had, it's been just over a year, and they're due for a new top coat. Again, they have 30 to 40,000 people on that floor, which is going to wear different than somebody's garage. You know, we're looking at 7-8 years, and we come back in, put a top coat on it, and we're good to go, you know, for another 3 or 4 years. In that facility, they've had a couple of things that have, you know, you have your natural wear, but they also had like a sandbox, and that sand is getting tracked on the floor, where we now need to, you know, maintain that a little bit different. So what we'll do is we'll come back in, we'll abrade the surface, and then reapply another top coat. For them, daily maintenance, since they have that unique thing of having sand kind of throughout the floor, it's like sandpaper. So dry mopping, getting that sand removed from the surface, and then a continual auto scrubber makes sense for them.
So on that auto scrubber, what are your suggestions?
For them, I would just recommend a red or a white pad would be sufficient.
And here we are back to that sand loading up in the pad again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You definitely don't want to use a diamond pad. You don't want to use a clean and shine pad or anything aggressive, because you'll wear off that top coat fairly quick.
So are you familiar with the oscillating machines and the, what they call an AstroTurf pad?
Yes, that would be great. That would be a good option as well. Anything with oscillating, I know Minuteman has their newer design with the almost like a triangle head. It's an oscillating upright auto scrubber. Places like that where it's not a big, I mean, it's only like 1,100 square feet, but where a traditional auto scrubber is would be harder for them to hold on to and have there. An upright auto scrubbers, even with the AstroTurf pad, would be great.
So then either that or a cylindrical rather than a pad?
Yep, a cylindrical would work great, especially for them. I think that would be, they have a unique situation where if you can remove those rocks from that surface, that'd be fantastic.
And you said, right, rocks. It's, you know, people think of sand as, well, it's nothing but sand. But, you know, when you really think about it, sand is what we make sandpaper out of. And the,
right.
And the granite and stuff that's in sand is what tears up floors.
Yep. Now you think about what sandpaper does, that it takes things off and it'll take off a top coat.
So I would make an assumption here, Rick, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I would make an assumption that you like mats.
I think mats are key to any facility. If you don't have a good mat system, that's something that you need to talk with your sales rep, whoever you're getting your supplies from, and figuring out the right matting. And not just any type of matting. You got to have the right type of matting for your location. And I think that is extremely important. In areas where we have a lot of ice melt, you know, if you're in a cold area where ice melt is being thrown down, neutralize that ice melt as quickly as possible. And that for me is one of the big reasons why having an auto scrubber is really important rather than a traditional mop bucket and mop. Because if you can remove that, ice melt residue off your floor, the better, the faster you can get it off of there, the better.
Well, now we're only a few days away from May, and I'm thinking that Idaho, you might be close to the end of the snow season.
Maybe. We still have another 4 weeks to go where we can get some snow.
Well, see, and I remember that because I've been back to Idaho a few times, and we were on a motorcycle trip in July, and we were still seeing snow, and my wife said, "This isn't right."
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We have a floor to do up in Island Park in about 2 weeks, and they're still snowed in back there. So I'm not sure we can get our truck in close enough to the building. So we're hoping in the next 2 weeks, it kind of melts off enough for us to get close.
Of course, see, now I'm down here in Florida, so I don't ever have to live with that anymore. But we live in the land of sand. And so this is what I tell people. You know, that grit, that stuff that is on the feet that comes in, it's so important to understand that pads load up with this stuff if you're not taking care of those pads and changing them frequently enough.
Absolutely. That is extremely important. That has to be a conversation with every business, you know, whether you're a sales rep or in janitorial or cleaning and maintenance. Understanding, you know, your specific location and what is going on there, but sand is rough on floors.
So, are you a chemistry guy? Do you like a lot of chemistry when we're talking about just everyday cleaning inside a commercial facility? Are you one of the ones that, you know, the least amount of chemical, the more neutral it is, the better?
You know, I am opinion of whatever it takes to get the job done. So I think
now that's a good political answer to that.
I think the biggest thing is understanding what you're doing and why you're using that product, whatever product it is. If you choose to use less chemical or more chemical, understanding what you're using before you apply it to any cleaning surface. Because I mean, how many times, I don't know about you, Dave, but have you ever seen bowl cleaner used to clean around, you know, sinks? And they say, hey, it takes the hard water off. Yeah, well, it takes everything else off too. So understanding the chemical that you're using, why you're using it, and I think that that can't be said strongly enough. If you're in the business of cleaning, you need to understand the chemicals that you're using and why you're using them, rather than just, well, it was in a spray bottle and I'm going to use this somewhere.
Well, I happen to agree. People do not understand their chemistry well enough. I mean, you know, an SDS sheet is for us to know what's in that chemistry. We should know about that and the hazards that go along with it, because we've been using cleaning chemicals that are way too hazardous for us in most cases.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I definitely think that there are a lot of chemicals that in the last 10 years that have come out that are safe to use with good results.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I was just teaching a master's class this past week, and I said, you know, water is, has been, and always will be the universal cleaning agent. Just use more of it.
Yep. Absolutely.
So any big advice that we can give people here at the end of our session? I mean, you know, I appreciate all your talk about cleaning concrete and all the coatings, but what's the biggest thing that you come in touch with?
You know, honestly, I would just say, if you take the time and understand the floor that you're on, whether you're new to whatever facility you're at, really trying to determine your hard surface, because there are a lot of, especially like I mentioned earlier, polished concrete, we use that term and we have no idea what's really on that floor, whether it's just a burnished, densified floor, or if it's truly polished, or if it's a grind and seal. All of them are going to require a different method to clean. So I would say understanding that, understanding your chemicals, and working with your rep, whoever is in your area, to help create the right solution for that floor.
Hey, you know what? I always like talking to people in different areas and different genres of the cleaning industry about their little expertise. How long have you been doing concrete?
Let's see. We started this company 3 years ago, but I was a sales rep with Waxy, which is now Brady Plus, and I was with Waxy for 12 plus years. And that's how I got into polished concrete as a rep. And then currently, I work with SRI Sales and Marketing as a rep for equipment and cleaning as well.
Well, hey, I've appreciated having you on here. And folks, you know how it goes. You just get on LinkedIn, you see something, you reach out, and here we are.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. I hope, you know, if there's anybody has specific questions about their floor or have any other questions, send me a message. I'd love to, you know, help you figure out what you need done or help problem solve. You know, I think right now, the way that polished concrete is, the new formula of concrete that they're coming out with, the type 1L, it's going to be really important as an industry that we understand the concrete that's being poured in new facilities and how to maintain them. There are big changes coming to concrete as an industry, and that ultimately will affect custodial staff and people that clean and maintain those floors.
Right. I mean, continuing education for all of us at all levels, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So folks, if you've been watching the video on YouTube, you probably noticed the website and the email address. If you've been listening to the audio podcast, we'll have it down in the show notes like we always do. Some links to Rick's email and also to the website. Rick, thank you very much, and continued success out there in Idaho.
I appreciate it. Have a great one.